We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Tiger Talk with Mizzou softball coach Larissa Anderson. Here's Brad Pranago.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Tiger Talk with Mizzou softball head coach Larissa Anderson. And what a run the Tiger ladies have been on lately. So good, in fact, the NCAA tournament committee said that this team needs to be hosting NCAA tournament games coming up this weekend. As the number 15 national seed, the Tigers will begin play Friday at 1 o'clock against Missouri State. Then it'll be Illinois or Arizona or both coming up later on the weekend. We shall see. This past week, Mizzou made it all the way to the SEC tournament championship game after wins against three nationally ranked opponents, Auburn, Alabama, and Tennessee. And the Tigers wrap up the regular season at 36-20. Yes, the first SEC tournament championship appearance for this program since 2013. So we got a lot to get to with Coach Anderson, and also our player guests, Brooke Wilmus, Jordan Weber, and Jenna Laird are all going to be with us as we continue here on the Mizzou softball team's Facebook page and on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast feed. And again, this episode of Tiger Talk, along with other great content and episodes, are available on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast feed. That's presented by Shelter Insurance, so be sure to subscribe today. By the way, ticket info, mutigers.com for that, and good luck. It's gonna sell out pretty quick, I think. Coach, first of all, congratulations on this tremendous accomplishment to be at this point and to be hosting again. March 28th, after the Ole Miss series, you're sitting at 19-12 overall. You're 0-5 in the SEC. Did you believe that it was possible to be at this point here today, hosting NCAA tournament regionals?
I mean, we always believed. It was a matter of how we were going to get there. The team reminded me yesterday of a conversation and a meeting that we had in the hotel at Ole Miss, and I had said to them, okay, we need to reevaluate our goals because right now we're not hosting a regional. So we need to figure out what we need to do in order to, one, to get to regionals, and we had to be above 500. So we were having a countdown on the number of games we needed to win with the rest of the season left. And when we got to that point where we knew we were going to be above 500, the team celebrated on the field like, yes, we're going to regionals. Now let's continue to move forward. But, I mean, we always believed. There wasn't a doubt. It was just a matter of making sure that we were taking care of what we needed to do to have an opportunity. And the last month has just been incredible.
So the watch party yesterday, you find out you're in as a national seed. What was that reaction like from your program?
I mean, just pure excitement for everybody. I mean, that we haven't played our last home game in our stadium, knowing the atmosphere that we can create and how special that environment is, and also how all the hard work pays off. I mean, every single game you play is like building your resume. And what we've done in the last month and what we did through the last week in the SEC tournament is got ourselves to have the conversation. So the NCAA could talk about Mizzou. Do they have enough on their resume in order to host? And clearly we did.
Mizzou softball coach Larissa Anderson with us, by the way, on the Mizzou softball team's Facebook page. If you have questions for us, you can put those in the comments, and we'll try to get to those also as we move along here at Cheerleader at the corner of Stadium and 63 and Columbia. Again, we appreciate them hosting us as they have for all of these shows. All right, so let's go back to the SEC tournament. Three straight shutouts, two of those thrown by Jordan Weber, who we're going to hear from shortly, the one in the middle thrown by Lauren Krings against Alabama. So let's start in the circle, I guess. What were some of the key to the success that your team had pitching the ball?
Location, location, location. I mean, Jordan Weber has unbelievable pinpoint control. She can read a hitter's swing. She knows exactly where to put the ball in order to get the ball not to be hit hard. Unbelievable performance. And then to add to it, when the ball was put in play, our defense making some of the most unreal, ridiculous plays that I've ever seen. How many double plays that we turned, some diving catches, and you don't do that without solid defense. So our pitchers making great pitches, and then our defense bailing us out to keep us in every ball game. But three shutouts in a row is just unbelievable. It's awesome.
Again, all three nationally ranked top 20 in the nation opponents that you were able to pitch those shutouts against. By the way, Weber and Krings and Jenna Laird, who we're going to hear from shortly, all named to the SEC All-Tournament team, and rightfully so. So you touched on the defense, and maybe the most memorable double play happened early in the first game and might have been the most important. It was the second inning against Auburn. The bases are loaded with one out. A fly ball's hit to right. Alex Honnold makes the catch, guns down a runner at the plate to end the frame. And again, that game ended up at 1-0 as a final. So that really, I guess, as it turned out, helped to set the tone for the week.
Oh, absolutely. And the video doesn't do it justice. Honnold was going into the right center gap, running away from the play, and just planted and just threw a strike to home plate with a great tag by Hattie Moore. And it kept them off the board. I mean, that would have been the first run of the ball game. And that momentum just really carried throughout the rest of the game to give us an opportunity to win. But it's all about players making plays. I mean, you put them in a situation to be successful, but it comes down to them competing, making plays, and they have come through every single time.
And then Kendall Bailey with a terrific diving catch in the seventh inning in the Alabama game, and that stood out to me because the umpire inadvertently was in her way, and Bailey absorbs the contact, and then she spins off her and is still able to make the diving play. But that's some pretty remarkable focus from her.
You know, I don't know what it is with umpires in Mizzou softball lately, but I mean, she just had her level of focus. I mean, how much focus it takes to take out an umpire, to bear hug them, and then make a diving catch. I mean, but it, again, it's players making plays. It's the determination that they have, that they're saying, I'm refusing to lose. I'm going to compete. I'm going to do whatever I possibly can to help my team win.
And then offensively, you got what you needed throughout those first three games, especially against Tennessee. You had the long ball working, the solo shots from Kim Wirt, Hattie Moore, and Kara Daly. Overall, how would you evaluate your team's hitting last week?
You know, and I could see it from the beginning of the game, the first game against Auburn, and that carried into Alabama and it carried into Tennessee. Even when the ball's not falling, when we're barreling it up and we're having loud outs and they're tough outs, I know we're seeing the ball really well. And we saw it all very well for those three games. And you can tell from the very beginning that we're on time. We're swinging at good pitches. We're not chasing. We're not making the pitcher's job easier. So I knew that it was just a matter of time before some of those balls would fall, and then they feel the same confidence. When they're in the batter's box and squaring up balls, and it doesn't matter if it's a hit or if it's an out, they feel much better because they're seeing it well and they're putting the barrel on it.
You mentioned before on a previous edition of this show that you're always tinkering with the starting lineup. Doesn't matter if your team's on a hot streak like your team has been on lately. And you moved Wirt up to the two spot. You moved Brooke Wilmus down to the three spot at one point. What led you to make that decision?
Kim Wirt is seeing the ball really well right now, and we need to protect her. And when you have a strong hitter like Brooke batting behind Kim, she's going to see better pitches because they don't want to pitch around her to get to another great hitter. So Alabama pitched around Wirt the entire series before, and I knew it was going to continue into the SEC tournament. So it was, we need to protect Word a little bit more. Let's put her in the tool hole so she does get some better pitches, and we'll put Brooke at three so it now allows them to see better pitches because they don't want to pitch around both of them.
Kim Wirt told the SEC Network postgame she was getting help from one of your, I guess, volunteer assistants, her mom, telling her, giving her some advice there in the batter's box.
I would listen to Bobby Joe, too, if she was telling me what to do.
And then, you know, Hattie Moore hit that one that was way out in left field, and it's still, I don't know, is it still in the palm tree?
No, someone climbed up in the palm tree and got the ball and then gave it to Hattie the next game. But, yeah, I mean, every home run that we had hit in that game was just an absolute bomb. I mean, Kara Daly's is probably still going. It went over their pitching lab that they had in left field.
Yeah, Daly had a big one, and she had a big single in another game during the tournament, too. So that's got to be exciting for you. I mean, you've got all these veteran players, but youngsters like Daly, who are the future of this program, also coming through in the clutch in big moments.
I think what's so deadly about our lineup is that anybody can come up big at any time. There's not one, the success of the lineup and the success of the team isn't relying on one person's shoulders. And that's why they continue to feel good about what they're doing, and they're just passing the bat because they trust the person behind them. And more often than not, the person behind them is coming through, and that's happening the entire way through the lineup. And what I'm really liking that's happening right now is every time they're going through the lineup, the second and the third time through, they're getting better at bats. They're making better choices with their pitch selection. They're on time more efficiently. So then I'm not having to pinch hit because someone's not making that adjustment. They're making that adjustment throughout the entire game.
Was there any value to, at least in a couple of the cases, especially with Alabama because you had just played them, but having the value of at least having seen some of their pitching before during the regular season?
Montana Fouts probably threw the best game of her entire year against us on game one, and we won. She struck us out quite a bit, but we won the ball game. And that confidence in knowing we saw her best, we know what we need to do against her best, carries into the next time we're going to see her. So they know that she's not going to throw better than she already threw that one time. So then now it's being able to, how are we going to eliminate some of the pitches that we chase in order to have better at-bats? And they did that extremely well in the SEC game.
When you saw the way that the conference standings played out, I mean, it was so jumbled in the neighborhood of where you guys were. I believe if you would have won the last game, I think you would have been the 3 or the 4 yeah. seed even, and you end up as the 7 seed. But with that being said, when you saw that your road to the tournament championship game would potentially include Alabama, was there a sense of, like, okay, I kind of like that? Just because, like you said, you had been so familiar with Montana Fouts and with the Crimson Tide, and you were so competitive with them in Tuscaloosa?
I think it was a more of a revenge standpoint.
There you go.
Where you're playing them in the 3-game series, and then it's like, okay, of course we're going to have to go through Alabama. And having that confidence of knowing that we know what we need to do to get through Alabama.
One of the weird things about all 3 of your wins is that you had significant delays pop up. Now, the first 2 games, you guys were the second game of a quadruple hitter, and in both cases, the first game went pretty long. So that led your team to have to wait a while. And then the Tennessee game, you get started, but then there's a 2.5-hour rain delay that's mixed into the middle of it. So how challenging can that be to be, all right, you're mentally preparing to play this game at this time, and you get thrown out of whack? How difficult can that be?
It can be very challenging for the pitchers, but the pitchers all year long have worked on what their starting routine is. Jordan can tell you exactly how many minutes before the first pitch that she has to start warming up. So she wasn't doing anything prior to when it was time for her. We have 35 minutes in between games, so really it's just her having a good time, staying relaxed until it's time to get game ready. I don't see that with a lot of other programs. I see that their pitchers are warming up way too early, and now if you have a gap and you have a rain delay or you have a game that's going 13 innings, they're wasting all that time and that energy, where Jordan stays completely relaxed. Krings does the same exact thing until it's that 20-minute mark before game time that they have to get focused and get ready.
And you're having those conversations, I assume, with them well in advance of, hey, I know you usually are warming up at this certain time, but there's a possibility that we could be delayed a little bit, so let's wait a little while?
Every pitcher on our staff has written out what their pregame routine is.
Okay.
So they know exactly, and this starts in February. We practice it in January, and we do it all fall. And sometimes we have to tweak it here and there. You warmed up too early. You warmed up too late. How do we have to make adjustments if it's cold versus hot? So they know exactly how long they need and when they need to warm up when they're visitors versus home. And it's before the game, I always go down to the bullpen. I remind them, hey, we're visitors. Remember that. We're hitting first. We don't go in the mound first. And then they have to make their adjustments within their bullpen time.
Are you factoring into, like, if your team's the home team, it's like if you're playing someone that's not as good, it's like, oh, we're going to put up 6-7 runs, so it's going to be a little while before I actually pitch?
Jordan probably can tell you a funny story how we played a game and I started her. And I think we put up 6 or 8 runs. And then I'm like, Jordan, I'm making a pitching change. She's like, already? It's only the first inning. But it was getting that run support so that we could make some adjustments in the bullpen.
Very good. There's a whole lot going on there that a lot of people don't think about, I guess. So I mentioned the SEC all-tournament teams. The SEC also announced all-conference teams, and this is for the entire season. And no surprise, you had a couple first-teamers in Kim Wirt and Brooke Wilmus. Congratulations to both of them for that. And to Jenna Laird. Jenna Laird made the second-team All-SEC, and Cassidy Shomo was named to all-defensive crew. So did that seem about right to you in terms of the recognition that you were able to get this season?
You know, absolutely. But it all comes down to individual players don't get recognized without team success. So it comes to the entire team to give them an opportunity to be recognized. But they are so well-deserving. I mean, this conference is so competitive and so tough. And having 13 teams, how many players that they have to be able to single out individuals and the accolades. But very, very well-deserving.
We're going to talk to a couple of those all-conference standouts coming up shortly. Did want to ask you first, though. So first SEC title game appearance since 2013. Ended up falling to Arkansas, the regular season champs as well there. But again, just for some perspective, so Mizzou's been in the SEC for a decade. The run last week were the 5th, 6th, and 7th wins ever in the event. It is so hard to win even one of these tournament games, so to win 3 of those I think is really an impressive accomplishment. To make that kind of run and to be, you know, every single day you're up, you're playing, and it's a win or go home situation, how do you think that helped to prepare you for NCAA regional play this weekend?
It really started last year, where the program hadn't been in the situation in quite a while on what does tomorrow mean? What are we actually playing for? So that set up for the SEC tournament in wanting to play for tomorrow, putting themselves in that situation. What does this game mean? And you can't simulate in the practice. I can't have a practice run and say, if we're not successful in this practice, guess what? Our season's done tomorrow. That's a feeling that they have to experience and be able to compete through. And they were so unbelievably competitive and focused and being able to make those adjustments. And when you're playing in that atmosphere with that amount of pressure, you gain more experience and more knowledge to prepare you for what's going to be headed up into this weekend.
Very good. Coach, we're going to give you a little time off, talk to some of your players, and we'll hear from you
awesome.
Again at the end of the show. Okay?
Good luck with them.
That is thanks. I might need it. That's Mizzou head coach Larissa Anderson. We're going to hear from her again momentarily. Jordan Weber and Jenna Laird, we're going to call you all in and have you come up here and join me here at the table here at Cheerleader, again at the corner of Stadium and 63 in Columbia. They've been terrific hosts for us really all school year long, and our big thanks to them for all that they do. Tiger Talk brought to you by Shelter Insurance, recently ranked highest in customer satisfaction among auto insurers in the central region, 3 out of 4 years in a row, and number one in price by J.D. Power. Shelter Insurance, we're your shield, we're your shelter. Our player segments, plural this time, brought to you by the official car wash of the Tigers, Club Car Wash. Visit clubcarwash.com to find a location near you. All right, we are joined by a 5'8 junior right-handed pitcher from Lee Summit, Missouri, named the SEC tournament team after 2 shutouts against nationally ranked teams Auburn and Tennessee. Jordan Weber will be with us for the next few minutes. And also seated in between us, a 5'7 sophomore shortstop from East Meadow, New York, also named to the SEC All-Tournament Team. She was the SEC Freshman of the Year a year ago. She was named All-Conference again this season. Jenna Laird will also be joining us for the next couple of minutes, and we appreciate their time as they get ready for the NCAA tournament at the end of the week. Jordan, we'll start with you. You told the SEC Network after the Tennessee win that Nutella was key during a rain delay to help you maintain the strength you needed. So how much Nutella were you all putting away?
We put a lot of cartons away a week. I swear we go through like 4 or 5 of them. You put them on everything. It's like bread, apples, rice cakes, you name it. We put Nutella on it.
So what's the go-to out of all the options to put on the Nutella?
I like rice cakes the best.
Right on. I'm actually with you on that. What about you, Jenna? Go-to with Nutella.
Honestly, I don't eat Nutella much, but when I do, it's with pretzels.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So like it's the salty sweet combo for you. Right on. All right, I got you. Jordan, are you, like, so with the Nutella talk, were you angling for free food like Kim Work got all the Lucky Charms? Was that also the play for you, or how did that?
I mean, I'll take free Nutella any day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Putting it out into the universe, and we'll see what chocolate, peanut buttery goodness ends up coming back. So Jordan, as I mentioned, a couple shutouts in the last week. One of them against Tennessee was especially interesting because you're in a groove, you're rolling through the first few innings, and then there's a 2.5 hour rain delay, and then you had to come back from that. Was that a challenge to kind of restart the game for you?
Kind of, not really. I mean, during the rain delay, we heard we would only have like 10 minutes to warm up, but then it ended up being 30, which was really nice. So I could like completely re-warm up and then like get back into like my game, like mind. And honestly, I felt like kind of rejuvenated a little bit, just like sitting around and like we were all talking, like playing games. So I wasn't like falling asleep or anything, but yeah, I didn't think it was bad at all.
What about the Auburn win to start off the week? I mean, that was a 1-0 game, so the margin for error is basically zero. What was working for you in that game?
Me and Coach kind of discussed, like, I didn't think I had my best stuff that game. My body wasn't really feeling it. So, like, kind of hitting my spots, making sure I was putting the ball in the corner. So even if they did get the bat on the ball, it wasn't going far.
I think you had 8 strikeouts against a top 20 team, and you didn't have your best stuff. So that's a pretty encouraging sign, I guess. Jenna, you had a couple really clutch hits last week. Let's start with that Auburn game. So your double in the fourth, that was the difference. That was an RBI double. 1-0 again was the final. If you could go back to that at bat, what do you remember seeing there?
I mean, really, I just knew that when Robbie got her double when she was on second and then Snyder was put in to pinch run, I just knew that I just had to get it through the infield. So I was just looking for a pitch that was a good pitch to hit straight through the infield, whether it was on the ground or to the fence where it went.
And then the next day against Alabama, you hit a leadoff double in the sixth off Montana Fouts, one of the best pitchers in the country. You eventually scored the game-winning run on a sacrifice fly. What about that at bat?
So the first at bat of the game, I knew that since we had seen her the whole series before,
the week before.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I knew that I was started to see her by the end of that weekend. So I knew that I knew what she was going to do coming into that at bat. I knew that she didn't want me to get on. She didn't want anything. She's a good pitcher. She doesn't want anyone getting on. But I knew where she was going to throw me. I knew what I had to do to get on base, and I did it.
There was a stretch of the year where you're hitting second and Brooke Wilmus is leading off. And then for a good chunk of the year, you two end up flip-flopping, and then you've been hitting leadoff ever since. So what do you like about that, hitting leadoff?
I think I kind of just like to go in it and not really – not that I don't know what's coming at me, but it's not like when Brooke was hitting in front of me, she would kind of tell me what to expect, and then I was expecting that and I didn't get it. So I think just going in, I kind of had a game plan of my own, knowing what – I want to hit and what I need to look for.
That shortstop, Jenna Laird, pitcher Jordan Weber also joining us. We'll hear from Brooke Wilmus coming up in a little bit. So Jordan, as I mentioned, a couple of complete game shutouts this past week. You mentioned maybe not feeling absolutely your best against Auburn, but overall, as you look back, what was working for you in those two games especially?
Well, we just recently started throwing like more of like my fastball, which kind of has like a drop movement to it a little bit. I mean, not much, but when I'm throwing a rise ball and then I throw like my fastball in there that has like a little bit of movement, it's just a different eye plane for the batters. And I think that was really throwing especially Tennessee off, because I didn't throw that much in the Auburn game. But that was a really good plan we had against Tennessee, because they have seen me so many times.
And again, Tennessee was the game with the big rain delay. Who was in charge of like the team activities, what you guys were up to while you were killing time?
I would say Cookie. Cookie does a lot of that kind of stuff, just like getting everyone together and Frizzy. Frizzy does it like, oh, we should play this game. No, we should play this game. So, yeah, that's kind of fun.
What was the game of choice? Was there anything in particular, or was it?
I don't even know what you would call it. It was like a numbers game, like trying to get to 25. Everyone has to say one number, and then if you like repeat the same number, I don't know.
Okay, so it was just that numbers game and Nutella. Was there anything, Jenna, that you guys were, anything, any other games that?
I mean, there was a mashup. We were all singing, doing.
Sure.
Changing from one song to the next with a beat going. Shantese Phillips had that beat going.
Mm-hmm. Did they like ESPN gave you all some cameras or something, and you were going around doing that too?
Yeah, they gave Lauren Krings the camera.
Oh, was that a good decision, you think? Or
I mean, maybe not the best, but
yeah.
They did it.
Yeah. So Jenna, you're from East Meadow, New York, which I was today years old when I learned that's on Long Island, so kind of in the New York City area broadly, at least for folks from our perspective who are from mid-Missouri like me. So your first visit, you come from basically Long Island to Columbia, Missouri. Your first visit, what were some of your first impressions?
I thought when I stepped on campus, I thought it was just an amazing campus. It was beautiful, but as I was here more, like as I've been here longer, I've kind of realized that it's kind of just like Long Island without the beaches.
So, and I'm guessing the accents are a little bit different?
Yeah, a little bit different. Everyone said, I don't have an accent anymore. I really never did, but everyone says my parents, they all have such a big accent.
And so you came here, and I mean, I'm guessing from New York that, you know, Larissa Anderson, also from New York, the head coach, there was a connection there. But what led you ultimately to decide Mizzou is the place where I want to spend my college career?
I think the SEC. I just knew that I wanted to play in one of the best conferences in the game, and once I had the opportunity to and the chance, I took it and ran with it.
Then you hit 410 as a freshman. Yeah, SEC Freshman of the Year. I'm guessing you were thinking, man, this is easy. Everybody's like, SEC's hard. I'm hitting 410. Is that the thought or was it?
Not really.
That's probably true. Jordan, being from Lee's Summit, Kansas City area, I'm guessing Mizzou has been a little more on your radar throughout your life than maybe in Jenna's case?
Kind of. I mean, I didn't really know I could play at this level. Like, growing up, I kind of was looking at more of, like, smaller schools than – my coach Earlywine just happened to be staying in the same hotel as like my travel ball coaches, and they were just like, you've got to come watch her. And then we talked after the game, and like that's kind of how it happened.
So what game are we talking about, in high school or earlier than that, when you finally had someone tell you, hey, no, actually you're good enough to compete at this level?
Mostly just like my parents, I mean, and my coaches obviously believed in me, but it was just something like in my head I was like, I don't really know. And then once I figured it out and like coaches started talking to me, I was like, oh, like I could actually do that. So
you also were having a lot of success as a freshman. You were 5-1, had an ERA of 2.15. Then the world stops because of the pandemic. I mean, how difficult was that to have to experience that and to have your season cut short?
Very difficult, and I think it made it even more difficult my sophomore year, like coming back and experiencing everything for like the first time, like the SEC tournament and like just more series in general. But I mean, it's kind of cool thinking about like me, Lauren, Emma, and Shui, we all experienced that all together for the first time, even though Lauren's a year younger than us, like we were all going through it at the same time. So it was kind of nice having people going through the same thing as you were.
And Jenna, for you, I mean, I guess you were a senior in high school at that point. What was that like for you to have to experience that?
Definitely, it low-key kind of heartbreaking, like just not being able to, there was no prom, no, I didn't get to finish my softball season my senior year because we played in the spring just like now, so, but most people played in the fall, but, so we got, I think, a week into softball season and then everything was just shut down. They said 2 weeks, but it was the rest of the year, so, I mean, just, it kind of also just set me up to come to college sooner than I thought it would have, but.
Yeah, and then last year, as I mentioned, the success that you had, but also the success that the team had, able to make it all the way, you know, winning the regional at home, hosting the Super Regionals, and having that great back-and-forth series, just missing Oklahoma City. How do you think that experience, Jenna, will help the team this year?
I think definitely. I mean, it's basically the same team. We have just Kara Daly starting at third now, but I think just all the experience, even like me being a sophomore, I still have the experience and I know what's coming at me. So I think just definitely the experience is what's going to make us like just feel like we're supposed to be there and just help us out.
Sure. Jordan, same question. How do you feel like last year's deep run will help the team this year?
I think it'll help a lot just considering like how bad it hurt. Like looking back, as like we were one game away from going. And I think that's just going to give us the push that we need to just keep going and like going hard every game, basically, because like looking back, you're like, dang, we were literally one game away from going to the World Series. So
right. I have given Jordan Weber and Jenna Laird a homework assignment. Actually, it's two parts to the homework assignment. So here's the moment to sell out your teammates. Jenna, we'll start with you. Something about Jordan Weber that we don't already know.
Okay, not many people know this about Jordan, but she does have 3 tattoos. You don't always see them though.
Okay.
I wear sleeves all the time.
What's the favorite tattoo?
Probably just my little finger tattoo.
I see tattoos on places like that, like the inside of a finger. Didn't that hurt?
No, this actually didn't hurt at all. She has one too.
Yep.
Really? So, I mean, so that doesn't hurt when it's on? It doesn't feel like there's a lot of skin or cushion there.
I mean, it takes like 5 seconds to get done, so it's like nothing.
Oh, that's a good point. I guess it's almost like a Band-Aid, just ripped the thing off.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Jordan Weber, something about Jenna Laird we don't already know.
She eats her pizza with Chick-fil-A sauce. Like,
interesting.
Yeah.
See, now I'm going to, because so my daughter is obsessed with Chick-fil-A sauce, and she would put it on anything if we allowed her to, so I sort of get it, but Chick-fil-A, so do you always just like have a bottle, because you can get it at the store.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have like a bottle that you just carry around, like a holster almost or something?
No, but I do have a mini fridge in my room, and it's filled, it has Chick-fil-A sauce.
Is there any particular pizza topping that goes best with Chick-fil-A sauce?
Probably pepperoni.
Okay, so just the standard there.
Yeah.
All right, so we have Brooke Wilmus coming up later, so we'll go ahead and give you guys the chance to get in there now. Jenna Laird, something about Brooke Wilmus we don't already know.
She definitely has abnormally small hands, so I think when she gets up here, you should ask to see them, because
okay.
They're small.
We will investigate. Hold on, let me get the pen out. Let's talk about the hands. Small hands. Okay, got it. Jordan Weber, something about Brooke Wilmus we don't already know.
That she stopped growing in sixth grade, so she was like a giant compared to the rest of the kids.
Stopped growing. You can tell they're not like sitting up there with her, or else they wouldn't be saying, stop growing, sixth grade. All right, we're gonna dig into Brooke Wilmus's childhood challenges and struggles. We'll have her sit on the couch here coming up. Jordan Weber, Jenna Laird, great job. Thank you for joining us. All the best this weekend, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so much to both of them for joining us. We're going to have Brooke Wilmus come up here. Please don't get in like a scuffle with them. We got to try to keep the show moving. Or if you are going to get in a scuffle with them, try to make it fairly quick. Mizzou Athletics would like to thank our premier partners, MU Healthcare and Shelter Insurance. And a reminder that you can show your swagger with a Tiger checking card from Central Bank, the only place for Tiger checking. Open it today at centralbank.net. Okay, we move on to the second part of our player segments extravaganza here with a young lady who has been a standout center fielder for a while now, and now in her final year and in her final games, we hope many plurals, if that makes sense, as a Tiger. But Brooke Wilmus is joining us now for the next few minutes here on Tiger Talk. So we'll start with the revelations that we got from your teammates. Let's see the hand. Where are you at? It's a little small.
It is very small, and they actually make fun of me like every single day for it, and it actually makes me kind of mad. But anyways, but besides that, we have this thing where whenever we get doubles, we put twos up, but we do mini twos because my hands are so small. So next time you see anybody get a double and they look to the dugout, just these are it. It's because my hands are so tiny.
Okay, and so this is interesting because no one in the history of Mizzou softball has gotten more mini twos than Brooke Wilmus. She has the all-time record in career doubles. It's like 60 or so at this point, or it's going to be 60 by the time this is done. So when you're at the plate, and just walk us through your thought process at the plate, because you've racked up a lot of extra base hits in your career.
I think the best thought process is no thought process. When you go up there and you're thinking about what the pitcher is going to throw every single time and where they're going to try and pitch you, if they're going to throw you an off speed or just anything like that, that's when you set yourself up for failure. So for me, the best time that I succeed is when I go up there and I don't think about a single thing whatsoever. And I just react to the ball. And, you know, sometimes they drop, sometimes they don't. It's part of this game. But I mean, luckily mine have dropped more than they haven't sometimes. So.
Yeah, that is the case. In fact, she also is the first Mizzou softball player ever with more than 100 extra base hits in her career. So it's been quite a run for Brooke Wilmus. We had Cassidy Shomo on earlier this season, and she said you COVID seniors who are in your fifth year playing are grandmas. That's the term she's used. So have you embraced the grandma mantra?
Whether I like it or not, I think I had to. just because even the freshmen have caught on, and they're calling me grandma and giving me hugs and be like, grandma, are you okay today? Do you feel okay today? And I'm like, we just did a 20-second or 20-minute lift and I'm so sore and they're bouncing back. Like, what are we going to do next? I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm going home and sitting on the couch. So, I mean, I've embraced it. I've been here for 5 years. It's been a great experience. It's been so awesome. But yeah, I guess we are just the old ones on the team now.
Yeah, so your first season playing was spring of 2018. So that means you showed up here after a great high school career in Iowa, by the way. You show up here in 2017. And what were your first impressions of Mizzou?
It was different than what I expected, mainly because I had come from only playing high school. I never played travel ball growing up. I got recruited straight out of high school as an eighth grader. That's before all of the requirements now happen, but so I got recruited in eighth grade, and coming to college, it was a very difficult transition, but it was also a very rewarding transition, because once I figured it out, I found my friends that I'm going to have for life. I found a very good spot, and I just love everything about this school, and I was here through it all, and I just loved it.
Why didn't you do travel ball? Because that's become a pretty common thing, especially if you want to get noticed on the circuit, if you will, by a lot of major coaches.
So I just never really got into it. In Iowa, you can play high school for 5 years. So I played as my eighth grade year, and after my eighth grade year, I didn't have a need to go play travel ball because I was already getting recruited for my high school stats. So because of that, I didn't need to go out and do anything. I got all the recruitment that I need. So why spend thousands of dollars when you can just get recruited for free? So
there you go. So we already talked about this with Jenna Laird. So you were hitting lead off and she was hitting second, and then you guys flip-flopped and you were hitting second for a good chunk of the year. And then last week you were even hitting third for part of the year. So how challenging has that been for you to be hitting in different spots in the lineup?
It really hasn't been a challenge at all, because every time coach has came up to me and told me, like, hey, you're going to go here, don't change anything you're doing. And just because I'm in the two hole or the three hole, or even if I ever go the one hole, which I doubt it because obviously Generators has been doing a fantastic job, I'm just going to go and keep doing what I do. Just find ways to get on base, hit it obviously where the other players are not. So I just think it's been a very good transition, and it's really helped our team this year.
Talking with center fielder Brooke Wilmus in her final season here as a Tiger, and in center field you've had a lot of highlight reel plays throughout your career on defense. Were you always an outfielder back in the day or no?
I have never been an outfielder until I came to college.
Okay.
And
so
my first year I played second base here. Sophomore year, I played second, short, and third, and then I also got moved to the outfield my sophomore year. So the first time I played outfield was against Alabama.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you got a little bit of work then.
I think every single ball to the outfield was hit to me. And before the game, I was taking reps, and I misread the first five, and they all dropped in front of me. I said, this is not a good idea to do whatsoever. So
what led to that conversation about, hey, we think you're going to be a better fit as an outfielder? What was that process like?
So we were in Alabama. It was sophomore year, coach's first year. It was me and Kendall Bailey. We were both kind of playing second base on and off. And coach came up to us. I believe we had a rain delay, so we didn't have a game that day. She came up to us and said, hey, I need one of you guys to go to the outfield. So thinking on it, I was like, obviously, I think it's going to be me because I'm a little quicker than Kendall is. But so I was like, okay, yeah, like I can go to the outfield. I can't be that hard, right? And then I go out there and I drop five balls in a row. But I mean, I guess it worked out for the better.
Mm-hmm. And now you're the one with the experience in the outfield, and you've got someone in Cassidy Shomo who, well, actually, even in college was playing in the infield. And then she goes out to left field and she's hanging out with you. And she's told us that there was a little bit of a transition period there. Was that the case?
Most definitely. I think everybody that comes to the outfield, there's a transition period for a little bit of time. But Cassidy is an absolute freak athlete, and I think we've all seen that. And she can catch balls that I could never catch in my wildest dreams. So the fact that she's came out here and she's come out here with an open mind has just been fantastic, and she's turned into an amazing outfielder, as I think all of us have seen.
And I know usually it's the center fielder who's kind of the quarterback, if you will, of the outfield, but with Shomo out there, just she has said she's like a dog with a ball. Whenever she sees it, she just goes and hunts. So do you have to be like kind of cognizant of, oh, that's kind of close to Shomo, I don't want to get tackled? Or?
So we have a little agreement on what balls I get and what balls she gets. Anything in is hers, anything back is mine. So we have that mutual agreement that we don't even need to say anything to each other, and we have it. So it's been fantastic, and she is so amazing to play by.
Mm-hmm. So are you, as the center fielder, do you like have to reel, if Shomo and Alex Honnold are having a conversation, Honnold the right fielder, are you the one who has to like relay the messages or anything, or how does that work?
I got to keep them on track a lot because they like to yell at each other all the time, especially Cassidy, like, loves to yell at everybody. But then there's times that I'm like, hey, let's reel it back in. Let's focus on the game just maybe a little bit more. But we have a lot of fun with each other out there.
Center fielder Brooke Wilmus joining us for a couple more minutes. How has this team gone from 0-5 in the SEC to making the SEC championship and now hosting an NCAA tournament regional again?
I think it all came together when we really started playing for each other and wanted the best for each other. I think there's – there was just some time where none of us were really confident in who we were and what we were doing, which we never needed to do that. But again, this game is a game of failure. So the fact that we were able to come out, and it really started in that Kentucky series. That's when we saw the difference and we swept them. And I just think like every single thing that happened, everyone on the team was so excited and happy for. And we have transitioned that through the rest of the year. And obviously, we've seen the major benefits from it.
Brooke Wilmus, all SEC, obviously getting it done on the field, off the field, is Mizzou's McCorder Award nominee, which basically is Mizzou saying you're the top female scholar athlete at the university. So she has that in her back pocket as well. How have you been able to balance your work on the diamond and your work in the classroom?
I just think it takes a lot of time management. Being a student athlete, you got to give up a lot of things. You got to sacrifice not being able to hang out with your friends sometimes because you have practice for 3-4 hours a day, and then you got to go home and do homework. So I just think that time management piece is a very important aspect to know, just because you do give up something doesn't mean you're not going to reap the benefits from the other ones.
Whenever it is that softball is done for Brooke Wilmus, what are some of your future plans?
I just want to find ways to make impacts on student athletes that I know my support staff has given to me. Whether that has to do with our academics, or maybe even if I do become a coach, that's something that I could see. But I just know that I can relate to them so well. And I don't have a definitive career path right now, just because I'm keeping it open just to see all the options that can come that I can help with those athletes.
Maybe a dancer. I saw in your online bio that you like dancing.
I do. My teammates won't tell me I'm not very good, but I mean, I like to go out and bust a move sometimes.
So yeah. Is it like the gritty, right? Is what the kids, is it the gritty? Is it more classical?
See,
ballet?
That's a reason why they call me the grandma, because I don't know how to do any of those. I mean, I'll do it and I'll look like a complete fool, and they'll be like, you're not up with the times whatsoever. I said, no, I'm 23. You're 18. Like, there's a big difference there.
Yeah, you're ancient. You're 23 years old. Right. Okay, so here's your moment. So Jordan and Jenna got their licks in. Now this is your opportunity. Brooke Wilmus, something about Jenna Laird we don't already know.
So she has this Twitter account that's not ran by her, but it's all about her, called Cutie Girl J. It is actually ran by another girl on our team, so everyone needs to go drop a follow to that account right now.
Cute girl?
Cutie girl.
Jay. Okay.
That's our nickname for
Okay.
her.
Okay, at Cutie Girl Jay. give him a follow if you're on that service. Something about Jordan Weber we don't already know.
Apparently, her new nickname, according to Coach, is Icebox. Because she has ice in her veins now, ever since that Tennessee game.
Oh, right on. All right. That was actually kind of a compliment. It feels weird to end on a positive note.
Because they tore me down doesn't mean I have to do it to them.
That's the growth that you get from a 23-year-old, I guess. Well done. Brooke Wilmus, it's been awesome watching you play for the last 15, 20 years or however long it's been. Best of luck this weekend. Go kick butt out there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Brooke Wilmus joining us here. We're going to have Coach Anderson come back on for just a couple more minutes as we wrap up this fun edition of Tiger Talk. Again, the Tigers back in action on Friday at 1 o'clock, starting off with Missouri State, and then we'll see if it's going to be Illinois or Arizona after that. Ticket info at mutigers.com. All right, our final segment with the coach, brought to you by Socket Fiber. That's the fastest and most reliable internet. So, Coach, had a chance to speak with a few of your standouts. We'll start with Brooke Wilmus, who, again, has been here for 5 years, taking advantage of the COVID year opportunity. What has she meant to this program? I guess she's been here longer than you have.
She has been. I mean, Brooke is such an unbelievable representative of this program. Her loyalty, her hard work, her dedication, her willingness to put others before herself, I think really separates her and is why she's such a great teammate. I mean, she's so loved by everybody within the program and support staff and administration because of who she is and what she does and how she represents herself.
And Jordan Weber, we saw what she can do this past weekend, pitching a couple of complete game shutouts against a couple of top 20 opponents in the SEC tournament. But what have you seen from her even this year in terms of the progress she's made from the start of the year to this point?
Well, like Brooke said, she's the icebox. She has ice in her veins. I mean, she is so unbelievably competitive. And I know I'm going to get the absolute best out of her every single time she's on the mound. The conversations I enjoy, and I've said this all around the country most recently, when we go out to the mound and I'm talking to Hattie and Jordan, when I'm discussing what the opposing team is doing, the conversations are so intelligent, where she knows what she needs to do And more often than not, I'm going to Jordan and say, what do you see? What do you want to throw? How do you want to throw this kid? How do you feel? And she's giving me feedback rather than me dictating it to her. And I trust her 100%, which is why she's staying in the games. And there's times I've gone out and gone, I'm not pulling you. Get us out of this inning. Finish this game. This is your game. And you can just see the excitement and the enthusiasm in her eyes because she wants the ball in those moments.
And with all the veterans, all the quote-unquote grandmas on the roster, the young lady who led you in batting average this season at 346 was a sophomore, Jenna Laird. And I'm guessing you're really excited about the future when you look at players like her.
And I do follow Cutie Girl J on Twitter, so I highly recommend that.
So it's not you? It's not you, though.
Not running the account.
Okay, it's not you. All right.
No,
we've ruled Coach out.
Me. Yes. I mean, I've known Jenna since she was 9. You know, I watched her grow up. She came to camps when I was at Hofstra. So I feel like she's my own daughter. But what I love about Jenna is that I can challenge her and console her. And she's always, yes, got it, coach. I'll do whatever I need to do. And she's just like everybody else, where they put the team ahead of themselves. And she's out there wanting to compete for her teammates, which is why we have been successful down the road, because they're not just thinking about their own individual accolades. Like, they're doing it to help the team be in the best possible situation to be successful.
All right, the NCAA tournament coming up right here in Columbia, Mo, starting with Missouri State on Friday afternoon, and then more games to come this weekend. Question from Facebook Live on the Mizzou softball team's Facebook page. It's from your brother again. You got to brace yourself. It's a pretty good, in his defense, I think it's a pretty good question. If you could change one aspect of the NCAA tournament, what would you change?
I wish they could seed all 64. I think that would be phenomenal if they could seed all 64 the same way they do in basketball.
It's really geographical, you can tell, the way that it's been
right,
set
up. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And they're only seeding the 16. I mean, even if they seeded 32, then you're going to get a true representation of the NCAA tournament. And I think you're just going to have a different – it's going to spread it around the country. I also, even though we are one of the top 15 to host, I would like to see us put some maybe predetermined bids in certain parts of the country, which is going to continue to grow our sport. I mean, it's always, you have your perennials that are going to be hosting every single year, but how great would it be to have a regional in a part of a country that doesn't ever see a regional? I mean, our whole mission is to grow our sport, to make our sport better.
All right, so the regional that you do have, again, it's Missouri State, it's Illinois, it's Arizona. You took a doubleheader off the Illini in Champaign back in March. Haven't seen the other two yet this season. You've only known your opponents for 24 hours, so I'm not expecting an in-depth scouting report, but what should fans expect this weekend?
Great softball. I mean, without a doubt, we have three unbelievable teams coming in. They're in the NCAA tournament for a reason. They're going to be highly, highly competitive. I'm real excited for our opening game against Missouri State. Obviously, an in-state rivalry, a program that we have not played in a number of years, and I just expect the atmosphere to be electric. And I know that Illinois and Arizona are going to be great opponents as well.
Before we go too much into the post, I do want to look back a little bit to the regular season at the end. Playing Alabama, and Cassidy Shomo on a deep ball hit to left makes a phenomenal effort. She makes contact with the ball, and unfortunately the call didn't go her way. It was ruled a home run in the decisive game of that series. But one of the memorable moments of the whole season is her going back to the dugout and just squishing this water bottle, just crushing it like a bug in a rage after that call didn't go her way. So have you been able to find another water bottle to make sure that she's able to stay hydrated?
So Gatorade got a hold of that video and has reached out to Cassidy to send her more water bottles. We're trying to get a sponsorship NIL that I have to stay out of because it's against the rules that I'm involved. But if Gatorade could sponsor Shomo, I mean, I think it would be a great endorsement.
Oh, they just wanted her to be a security guard after her career was done. Just stand outside Gatorade headquarters.
Well, I think one of the cutest things is Shomo's niece in the stands. Also, every time something would happen, she would hold the water bottle and squeeze it and make the same face that Shomo made.
Well, hopefully we see that kind of power coming up this weekend. Coach, just making the NCAA tournament is a great accomplishment. Just being able to host is a great accomplishment. I know you're open for more, but again, just congratulations on this. All the best coming up this weekend to your team.
Thank you. And I'm so excited for the community and Mizzou athletics and our program to be able to play in front of our hometown fans. I think that just adds to what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. And this has been a lot of fun this season, too, here at Tiger Talk. That is Larissa Anderson. She's the head coach of your Mizzou softball team that, again, is a national seed hosting NCAA tournament. tournament action starting Friday afternoon at 1 against Missouri State, and then we'll see what happens on Saturday and beyond for the Tigers. Again, more ticket info at mutigers.com. This is the last scheduled Tiger Talk we have here. We might be able to sneak in one or two more, depending on how things play out. If y'all would come out to that, maybe we'll see on that. But we do want to thank Coach Anderson, obviously, for her support. Also, Steve Sowers and Jeremy Washington behind the scenes. I'm Brad Trinago. You've been listening to a Tiger Talk from Learfield.
This has been Tiger Talk with Mizzou softball coach Larissa Anderson. Watch the show live and post your questions in the comments on the Mizzou Softball Facebook page.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.